everyone, and welcome to Minute 84 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we take a wild trip through the 1987 John Hughes comedy, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Travis Bowe of the Watchmen Minute. Welcome back, Travis.
Hey, glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you back. Just try not to laugh too much to yourself when no one else is around. Try. Neil can't say laugh.
Yeah, I always say laugh like no one's watching.
Just millions of people from afar, but no one next door. No one next to him. You know that the train that Neil is on looks completely abandoned.
So yeah, that was kind of my first note. It was just imagine the person looking at Neil. You know, someone else on the train.
Who's going to get up and move further back or to the other car. this guy's not
raging psychopath.
Completely. So minute 84 begins with Neil laughing to himself once again and ends with Neil asking a query. So yesterday we had a fantasy minute where Neil got to fantasize about what his Thanksgiving dinner might look like and then started recalling some of the funny moments between Del and Neil along their journey. They're off the beaten track, I guess you can say. And this minute continues with that, but we actually get a little bit of dialogue, unlike yesterday where we had no dialogue whatsoever. So it starts off once again with Neil laughing on the train. And then he reminisces about the, I like to call it the Chatty Cathy moment. There's a shout out to Jim O'Kane, who we talked about that months and months ago, about the Chatty Cathy doll that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Where Neil was just pulling the string the whole way through. Back in their first night at their first motel. And then Neil recalls Del's response to that. I like me. My wife likes me. And then we get a shot of Neil pondering. I think yesterday when we were talking about the fact that they got Neil, you know, they filmed Steve Martin a few times just thinking, I think this is more what they're referring to, not the laughing. Because, you know, here he's actually thinking more. You know, he doesn't look like he's, you know, he's getting himself in the zone, I guess you can say.
He's pondering, he's recalling these moments, and he's kind of piecing things together, and he's considering, like, he's
right. No, but I'm talking about in real life. We talked about the used this raw footage of Martin just sitting there, you know, in between takes, and it's possible this is what they're doing, where they said, oh, wow, he looks like he's pondering. He's thinking about what he's going to do in the next scene or whatever it is. But yeah, you're right.
I don't know if I buy that.
Okay. It's possible.
I think this is a performance, you know, that he's considering, like, they've probably told him we're going to use these scenes of you remembering what he said about
his wife
home. About his wife, yeah. So, right.
And then we get a shot of the you know, Neil in the second motel, the El Rancho Motel, where, you know, he's holding the booze in his hand, and he basically says to Del, at the very least, at the absolute minimum, you've got a woman you love to grow old with, right? And I mean, I like the fact that they don't show the response from Del at that point. You know, they mix and match.
Yeah.
Responses from different places, like, because again, he's putting all the pieces of the puzzle together. At that point, he recalls his own comment in the cafe where he says, I've been spending too much time away from home. And then Del's response is, I haven't been home in years. And then we hear that two more times, you know, like to try to nail that thought in there.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, we get another shot of Neil. You know, he starts looking to the side, trying to, like, think about it. And, like, it's very funny the way that his eyes move back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, he moves his head back and forth. He's, you know, you know, and then we hear the sound, like, reverberating in his ears. It's finally the light bulb has now gone on above his head.
Yeah. Yeah. Last thing he does kind of before, like, he clenches his jaw, like he's chewing on, like, what am I supposed to do with this? Like, I think I figured something out. What should I do? And then.
Right. And then he looks like he's actually about to start to get up.
Yeah.
As they cut the shot, you know, and then we see a shot of the train coming back into the station. It's the exact same station that we were talking about earlier in the week, LaSalle and Van Buren.
I did notice that it's four.
Yes.
Four cars. That's correct. This time.
Mm-hmm. This time it's four cars. So it's not necessarily the same train, but again, it then asks the question, okay, where did he get the money for the transfer?
Right.
You know, unless Dell gave him a little bit of change.
A little walking around money.
In case you need it.
Yeah.
Yeah. In case you need it. Why not? And then we see the train doors open up and Neil runs out frantically. And then we see him enter the station, you know, the waiting area of the station. And what's very interesting is on the, as soon as he walks into the station, we see a chart in the background. Mm. Okay. And it says on it, rapid transit chart. Okay. So, which basically maps out the various routes of the different trains in the loop. Right. So we know that Neil is actually traveling to, I think it's called Kenilsworth. I think that's where he needs to go. So I looked up, where is Kenilsworth? And so it's actually not on that chart. I found a copy of that rapid transit chart from 1987. And it shows all the different destinations. I mean, it's just amazing. You can actually also see the loop. You see the rectangle. And basically, Neil needed to travel north to go to Evanston East and beyond. Because Kenilsworth is slightly beyond Linden. I think that's the name of the town right beforehand. Okay. So I also looked to see how long that trip is. So it would have been a 31-minute trip on the train. So, you know, it makes you wonder at what point he realized that he needed to, you know, he's rushing to get home before the football game ends. Yeah. You know, and now he's actually going to stop and go back. You know, how long did it take him to, I mean, we saw that it took him a minute and 20 seconds or something like that. So maybe he didn't get very far before he decided to get off the train and go right back. But I like the trick camera shot here where we think that he's still on the same train, you know, as he's getting off the train and going, you know, what did you think when you saw this? Since you haven't seen this before, when he got off that train, did you think he was going in and running towards Del?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Were you able to figure that out at this point?
Yeah, I think it gives you everything you need to see this coming, I think.
Right. Okay. No, that's fair. Also, I mean, again, if you notice that the train is going in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
So that also is a little bit of a hint to the whole thing. And as he gets into to the waiting area, you see that the room is completely empty except for Dell, who's sitting there. And he actually seems quite surprised. He looks like he's actually been caught red-handed or something.
Like, it busted, you know? Like, you got me, I have nowhere to go.
Yeah. And then we get a shot of Neil looking over at Dell. And it's just, this is one of the moments where you can see that the two of them are such great actors. Because they can give off so much just with their looks. You know, Dell is, as we said, he feels like he's been caught red-handed with something, which in reality, what has he been caught red-handed with? The fact that he didn't say that he's really going home. I mean, that's what he's been caught with. You know, he'll make do. Dell is the type of guy who will find a place to go. He's going to, you know, he'll find some place to have his turkey roll.
Yeah.
You know, as he stated months ago. So. And then Neil looks at him and asks the biggest question that he could ask. He says, "Dell, what are you doing here?" And I mean that's actually a great way for this minute to end. You know, leave us in a cliffhanger.
Actually, this,
you know, what is Dell doing
here? Yeah, this whole week has had really nicely segmented minutes, I've thought.
Yes. Yeah. Well, again, think about it. They had to cut down a very long movie.
Yeah.
So I guess John Hughes knew how to cut it down properly. He knew that 35 years in the future, someone was going to be doing a Movies by Minute
That's
podcast
right.
about his movie. It's just, I'm going to make it
Yeah.
easier for Rob and his guests. We'll cut things at good places. Who knows? Now, I mean, this whole minute and part of yesterday's minute, or actually mostly this minute, it feels to me like they used to have those, or they might still have them sometimes, those TV recap shows.
Yeah.
The second to last show of the season or something like that. They would find some reason where they just need to have this short little, story
Sure.
that really means nothing, but throughout the entire story, you have the character or characters, thinking about all the different episodes that happened beforehand and stuff like that. I mean, I did a little bit of research on this, and I found out that most shows did this in order to stretch the budgets. Because this way they would just reuse
Yeah.
old footage, and they would just have to put in a little bit of
Yeah, I
narrative
always
glue.
Star Trek Next Generation has had a few of these, and one was like they had to do surgery on Riker, and so he was like trapped in his mind and just replaying old memories of things that happened, and it was just a what do you call it? It's not a bottle. Is it a bottle episode?
Yeah, no, it's like a
Yeah.
bottle, right?
Yeah.
It's like a bottle episode.
So,
Yeah, and you'd think that Star Trek Next Generation had the funds.
yeah.
They didn't need to stretch it. Just say, hey, Gene, give us a little more money to finish up this season. We have a great idea. But yeah, no, so it felt that way, and you don't see it that often in movies. It happens, but it's not something that I mean, I'm trying to think right now of a movie which does something like this. And the only ones that I can think of are maybe like parts of a series,
Yeah.
but not a standalone movie. I can't think of, I was trying to think all day of different examples of something, and I couldn't think of anything, of a specific movie that does it like the
Yeah.
way they do it
For
here.
some reason, Mission Impossible 2 comes to mind because I know that they replay clips of various moments of the movie kind of that's led up to that point. I don't know why that one just came into my
Right.
head. Yeah, I'm sure there's a
Interesting.
bunch of examples, but
Yeah,
yeah.
but nothing stands out for me at this point. And so I mean, they do a nice job of this, and I think it's also somewhat of a reminder for the viewer of what has happened over the course of this movie. The way that Neil was suffering throughout all of these different endeavors throughout, and he's finally reached the point where, okay, he doesn't need, he can actually look back at this and laugh and have good memories about it and say to himself, well, you know what? I actually did have a good
Yeah.
time with Elle. This wasn't as bad as I thought it was at the time.
I really like the sort of montage nature of this and yesterday's minute, the kind of reminiscing. And it's really interesting that it builds this, it's the culmination of this relationship between these two men, and you don't get a lot of relationship building stories, movies with two middle-aged male characters, I think this one
Right.
does a really
That's true.
good job of building these two, this relationship between these two guys, and you could have swapped the actors and made it a rom-com, to, I mean, there have been plenty of on the road style movies with a guy and a girl, and one of them they end up in a relationship together by the end of the movie, and this story could have been that too, it's really interesting.
Yeah, they definitely do a great job with that. No question about that. All right, so one of the things we do every day, we talk about the differences between the script, the final script, and the final edit of the movie. And we actually have lots of differences here, because the first of all, as we mentioned yesterday, none of the montage fits in there. So this starts off where you see the outside of the Wilmot subway station. Okay. And they show a taxi pulling away from the front. And then we see Neil get off the train, walk into the station, and he's reading a newspaper, and then suddenly he falls out of the frame. And then we see Neil pick himself up off the floor, and he turns to see what he's tripped over. And what do you think he's tripped over?
That trunk.
Del's trunk. That's right. And he turns around angrily, and he sees Del sitting on a wooden bench. And he smiles at Del, and then he can't understand why Del is there. Because, you know, this is basically what they were trying to tell us with the taxi was, is that Del somehow got in the taxi and got to the station that Neil was traveling to before Neil got there. So, you know, he's sort of, stalking him.
Yeah.
it's possible that you could call it that. And then we get the exact same end line from this with Del. What are you doing here? So, I mean, it's interesting that it's completely different.
Yeah.
You know, you have the same punchline of Del, what are you doing here? But the story is completely
different. Yeah, yeah. They have nothing to do with each other, you know, those two setups, I guess. Yeah. This one, the one they filmed, it's Neil is making a decision like, no, I need to go back for my friend. The other one, yeah, it sounds like Del being needy. Like he knows where Neil's going to be, so he's going to be there so that he can continue the journey with him. Yeah, I'm glad that they went with the one they filmed.
Yeah, it's creepier the other
one. Yeah.
There's no question about that. All right, so a segment that we do every day is Off the Beaten Track, where either myself or my guest will give a little story about some adventure or misadventure that one of us has had over the journey of life. So once again, everyone gets another story from me today. So back in, this must have happened in 1994, I think, or maybe it was 93. It was either 93 or 94. I was a counselor in a youth organization, and I was a large part of it for many years. And then after I graduated, I was in the youth organization throughout junior high and high school. And then afterwards, I became a counselor for it. You know, they had like different weekend getaways and stuff like that. And I remember that I was visiting in the States, and they had a weekend in Cleveland, in like a camp in Cleveland. So I decided I was going to go. I was going as a counselor. So yeah, this must have been in 93. So I convinced my parents to let me take the spare car. So I drove from Detroit to Cleveland, which, if I remember correctly, is about a 3.5 hour drive, something like that. And one of the things as a counselor is that, you know, at night you need to make sure that all the campers go to bed at a normal time. And they weren't doing that. And we saw a whole bunch of kids that were a little in the woods. So I took my car, turned on the brights, and started driving into the woods and, you know, going over the little bumps and stuff like that. And, you know, that we finally got the kids all to bed. And then the following day we were traveling. I had to take someone to the airport. One of my friends needed to get to the airport. I was driving to the airport. And as I was driving to the airport, the car just died. I remember I was on the exit ramp to the airport, and I didn't know what to do. This was the days before cell phones, so it made things a little bit more difficult. I, you know, needed to get in touch with my parents back in Detroit to get in touch with AAA or whatever it is. And I flagged down someone who drove me to the airport, and I was able to call my parents on a payphone. They gave me the information for the AAA. I called for a tow truck, and then I needed to get back to the car. I currently don't remember how I got back. I must have taken a taxi or whatever to get there, because I don't think I would just hitch a ride from somebody from the airport back to the airport lounge or whatever, the exit ramp or whatever it is. And then I eventually, the car had to be towed back to Detroit because they said that the
Oh, wow.
engine was gone. And basically my parents have only found out a few weeks later what the problem was or whatever. Thankfully, I was able to take the bus back with everybody. I was able to figure that all out. That wasn't really an issue. And basically, the mechanic told my parents that it happened because I was apparently driving fast over potholes, and that somehow I broke the chassis of the engine or something like that. And to this day, what is it, almost 30 years later, my parents still do not know what I did. I never told them. When I was 18 and did it, or 19, I didn't tell them, and to this day I still have not told them how that happened. It cost them, I guess, a few thousand dollars to refurbish that engine for the spare car, for the spare, yeah, it was, it was the car that all the kids used, so it wasn't as I mentioned earlier in the week, it was a clunker, so it wasn't the best car. But I'm much smarter and wiser today than I was then. I wouldn't do that again. So yeah, I thought that's a little fun story
For
to
sure.
tell. So Travis, you want to tell people once again how they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can find me. I did one of these Movies by Minutes podcasts a couple years ago now. I did Watchmen Minute with Eric Nash, and that is a completed project. You can go and find all 186 minutes of the director's cut of Zack Snyder's Watchmen are all there for your listening pleasure. We also did the I don't know, 10 episodes maybe of HBO's Watchmen. We did little recaps kind of after each of those episodes came out. So, yeah, that's all available. Just search Watchmen Minute.
Is it worth watching the HBO miniseries? I loved the Snyder cut
Okay.
of Watchmen, and so like I didn't want to ruin it by watching the miniseries. What
No,
do you
no.
think?
The HBO series, it's a great season of television. I think it works okay as a follow-up to the movie. Not doesn't real. I mean, it's more of a follow-up to the comic book. That journey or that story set like 30 years later, and it kind of picks up where some of those pieces were left. But it also gives you a lot of really good information that informs how the whole thing got started. Back with some of the characters that were the first superheroes in that world. So
So I should rewatch the Snyder version before I watch the miniseries again,
yeah, I mean, why not?
just to refresh my memory of it, or is everything already going to be explained?
I mean, honestly, you might have a better journey with it if you reread the book, or I don't know if you've read it before.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I
But
have.
I mean, I wouldn't I would probably say maybe do both. Read the book if you're prepared to go down a Watchmen path. Read the book, watch the movie, and then check out the HBO series. So, yeah.
Okay, that sounds like a plan.
And do it all while listening to Watchmen Minute.
Of course, that's the whole point,
Of
isn't
course, yeah.
it? All right. So, and finding me is very simple. You just do a quick search for Movie on Minute. You can find my website. You can find me on Twitter, or you can find me on Facebook. So, Travis, you feel like coming back tomorrow and finishing off the week?
Yeah, I gotta get to my final destination here.
Well, yeah, you're in an abandoned
Yeah.
train station, so who knows? And the question is, which train station are you in? There we go back to what we were talking about earlier this week about multiple universes. Are we back in the old train station, on Van Buren, or are we in the new one? Who knows? Well, everyone has to come back tomorrow and listen to that. But until then, you're fine.
You're fucked.